Hey, how you doing? You with Jamal Williams, and you listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined, of course, by The Trash Man. If you're watching us on stream, didn't have much time to discuss it pre-show, but I guess there is a puppy pug on Trash Man's shoulder.
It's her favorite place to be.
It's like you got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, except it's a little pug. Well...
she weighs about 2 pounds.
So what's her name again? What's her name?
Uchiko.
Uchiko. So the Alex Trashman and Uchiko here on the podcast today. A couple things to get to. We're going to break down Tank Dell from the University of Houston, the wide receiver that's going to be at the Senior Bowl. Just a prolific wide receiver from the University of Houston over the past two seasons, but there's maybe some things about his profile that worry you a little bit. Trashman, I have not read your eval yet. I haven't edited or put in my stuff yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No. So I'll be interested. Like, I've definitely watched him and I have my own thoughts. So it'll be interesting to hear sort of what we both think about him. Before we get to it, I want to go over some dynasty buy or sell stuff. I asked you, to look over the dynasty rankings that we have up so far, and the dynasty top 250 is going to be out soon for our pro members, but like we talked about, we're completely overhauling it from last year, and just to make sure we weren't getting too far off the reservation, I just pulled into our spreadsheet the expert consensus from over at Fantasy Pros, which I'm not sure how much I trust. I think a bunch of these are bad, right? But
not be updated at this point.
I mean, I looked, but here's the thing: you can sort, and I only sorted by people who I knew and by people who had updated within the last like 3 to 4 days. Right. And so I think some of these methodologies just could be different with how they're looking at some of these players, how they value age, stuff like that. So we're going to talk about, I asked Trashman to maybe come up with two guys. He feels strongly about being higher than consensus on two guys. He feels strongly about being lower than consensus on based on where the consensus is sitting right now. And I also just had a few players that I thought were kind of interesting as far as what I'm seeing with the consensus versus our initial rankings where we were, doing them in a complete, without even looking at anything else. Now that we're starting to round out like the 250, we want to make sure that there's nothing we missed or anything we could take away from kind of wisdom of the crowds to say like, man, do we really need to rethink being, 30 spots lower on this guy than some of our competition? So there are a few
there's
of those
one
guys.
Guy in particular I can see right now.
And it's always the guy that I'm going to be lower on, isn't it, Trash Man?
Yeah.
So look, let's just start out before we get to that. Just tell me your thoughts on the Derek Carr situation. I saw in one of our fantasy leagues group texts that you said that your long national nightmare dating back to 2002 with these Carr brothers is finally over. I'm not sure it's over. I don't think you've seen the last of Derek Carr, but your general thoughts. It looks like if he can't be traded by the 15th of February, they're moving on. And he wrote on Instagram earlier a long, sad diatribe to all of Raider Nation saying, I know I said if I wasn't a Raider, I didn't want to play football, but I still want to play football. But thank you anyway. What do you think? What are your thoughts on Derek Carr?
I mean, I think they're moving on is the right move from him. I feel like it's Derek Carr like his brother. I mean, like, he was decent for Devontae Adams. They had a good season together, but he's not a game-winning quarterback, in my opinion. He's a guy that just kind of, maintains a status quo, really, in any organization that he'll be in. I could see him maybe potentially going to the Jets and You know, he's got, I think whoever lands on the Jets has probably the best situation as far as offensive weapons in football. I mean, that's the best situation a quarterback can step into, in my opinion, right?
Why,
now?
Why? Because you like the offensive line, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson.
I mean, they have it all.
Elijah Moore.
They have
Conklin,
it all.
CJ Uzomah.
They have it all.
I mean, I don't think it's the best situation. I think the best situation you can get dropped into is probably Miami, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
You'd rather get dropped there. But, I mean, it's a good spot for sure. You generally think Jets, oh, Jesus. There is a good surrounding cast there, especially when you consider the offensive line, you consider the good running backs, and then you consider just dynamic guys in Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. And I would certainly like Elijah Moore to get some kind of semblance of good quarterback play, because that was a rough season, this last one. Do you have any – like, for me, I was thinking about the Raiders, who would be good to come in. They obviously made this move with a plan. I don't think the plan is Jared Stidham. Of course, there's all the buzz about Tom Brady and the Josh McDaniels reunion. I don't know if I would love that for the skill players in Las Vegas. I mean, obviously for Devontae Adams, I would love to see Aaron Rodgers go there. I think that would be awesome.
I mean, I can see that happening for sure.
What about Jimmy G? That's a Josh McDaniels kind of guy. Or is Jimmy G? I mean, I just think about Jimmy G, and it feels like maybe that's a guy who.
Jimmy G is 49ers or bust.
Yeah, right. Well, I just, you know, it feels like if he's with anybody except Shanahan, he's going to be just like Derek Carr, and he's going to be a quarterback that's just good enough to keep you competitive, but just bad enough to keep you in perpetual limbo, right? It feels like if he comes to us, like, it really is banging your head against the wall with some of these guys, you know.
Yeah.
You just hold on to because, you know, they're good enough to keep us competitive, but, man, when the lights really come on in these big games, they fold and they bust and they throw picks. The other one you hear, and then, of course, people are saying that Baker Mayfield has had some kind of renaissance. I just say that's coming in there, rabbit out of the hat with Sean McVay, and other teams just not knowing what the hell to think. And, you know, I think you give teams an offseason with, you know, film on Baker Mayfield. And if you take him out of McVay's offense, you know, your team has, you know, like if division opponents have a whole year to plan for facing Baker Mayfield twice in whatever system he ends up in, it's not going to be like him popping onto the scene like some damn rabbit out of a hat with 12 hours of notice.
It's like whenever you're playing poker with like somebody who's never played Hold'em before and like, you know, they win a few hands because you don't know what they're going to do.
Oh yeah, because you're thinking like, you run back through the hand. You're like, wait a minute, wait. He checked on the flop. Then he checked, raised the turn, and now he's just like two betting the river. What the hell does this guy have? And then you realize that he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, well, that's that on Derek Carr, I guess. Let's talk about some of these guys. I think the guy that you were mentioning that we're lower on, I mean, we're going to have to get him up some, but it's Ramondre Stevenson, right? That's who you're talking about. So if you look at the consensus across, I have like 17 different experts, basically a consensus on him is overall player 27. In dynasty startups, he's sandwiched as far as running backs right in between Javonte Williams, who's 23, Josh Jacobs, who's also 25, with his future a little bit in doubt since, of course, the Raiders did not pick up the fifth-year option on him. There has been some buzz lately and some quotes from McDaniel saying, like, man, you know, he played Raider football for us. Like, we would love to have him around. You know, I think looking back, if they could go back in time and exercise that fifth year option, they certainly would do that. Right. So I don't know if they're going to be wanting to pay him if we talked about David Montgomery expecting 7.2 a year, aren't we going to be, Josh Jacobs is going to be in that same bucket at least. I mean, it feels more like he'll be like an eight plus. So, with the Raiders, if you're a little bit, if you're, if you're being a little bit budget sensitive, when you want to bring in a big name quarterback, if that is the plan, it might be hard to keep a guy like Josh Jacobs in the fold. So there could be some uncertainty there with what's going on with him. Then you have Ramondre Stevenson here at overall consensus number 27. He's ahead of Nick Chubb, who's going to be 27 years old. He's way ahead consensus wise of Joe Mixon, who's going to be 27. We're talking, six spots consensus wise, he's higher. And then just way higher than Tony Pollard, who is consensus, basically overall number 38 or so. So to me, I think it's interesting. We're a lot higher on Tony Pollard than the consensus, a lot lower on Ramondre Stevenson. And my reasoning for being lower on Ramondre Stevenson is a couple of reasons. One, I'm probably always going to be biased against the guy. You've always hated him. Well, I've had a bad evaluation on him out of college. I didn't like him at the Senior Bowl. I didn't think he had a skill set that was particularly conducive to doing what he's done in the NFL. And look, he's done it. And I was wrong to think he was going to be a complete nothing burger. And the lesson I've learned from that, and I'll always learn lessons from my mistakes, I think the lesson that I learned from that is that if these guys, even if they look fat and they look slow and they test bad as far as their speed, if they have good feet and they test well with their agility and they can catch and they go to a team that's determined to use them, they can make things happen. And that's what Ramondre has been able to do. With that said,
it's the Latavius Murray rule.
With that said, he didn't have good lateral agility. all Latavius had was size and straight line speed. He's a completely different animal. It's the Latavius rule that you got to learn from your. I hated Latavius. And all he's done is he's been a running back in the league that's been semi serviceable until he's like 31 years old or whatever. It's just amazing. But Ramondre. We have him at 55 right now. I think we probably need to get him up just to not be completely egregious. But here's my concern, Trash Man. Like, a lot of this stuff that we've seen this year when he's good, there's been stuff with Damian Harris banged up.
What? Damian Harris is still on that team.
Yeah. And last year, we can't forget. I mean, we liked Pierre Strong coming out. We liked Kevin Harris coming out. These are guys that are on that team. It's always been an absolute nightmare with those guys, just knowing who's who, what's what. Now, Damian Harris is set to be an unrestricted free agent next year. And so I think that's what people are globbing on to the idea that, no more Damian Harris. Ramondre takes over that role to himself. And I think what we need to do is we need to bake some of that optimism in. We need to bake in some of that optimism that Damian does not come back, that Damian, as has been rumored, might, speaking of guys rumored to the Raiders, that's been rumored the whole time. No Josh Jacobs. Josh McDaniels will bring in Damian Harris, which honestly makes Damian Harris a little bit interesting as a dynasty buy if you bake a small bit of that assumption in. But if there is no Damian Harris, we've seen what the splits are like for Ramondre Stevenson. My worry is Damian Harris isn't going, it's like, we don't know yet whether they're bringing him back. He is set to be free. So we need to bake in a good amount of that, but we don't know for sure. We also know that we really like Pierre Strong. We also know that we really like Kevin Harris. We also know that whenever the chips are down the stretch of this season, Ramondre folded. He wasn't good. And he even said, He was worn down. He had issues making it through seasons in college. He didn't have the wear in college that some of these other guys did to make it through a whole violent season. So I think probably we need to get Ramondre up. But geez, man, like, does it really feel that good getting Ramondre Stevenson above Javonte Williams?
Not at all. He's
23. I mean, I don't think that we can do that. And I understand that there's issues baked in with Javonte. He's coming off a devastating injury. He might not be ready to start next season, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. But he's got 2 years on him. He certainly has the pedigree on him as just a dude that when we've seen what he's able to do in that backfields to himself, I think that there's room to move Ramondre up a little bit closer to those guys, but we're not going to be as high on Ramondre Stevenson as consensus. I just think maybe there are some of these wide receivers that we have ahead of him. Some of these other guys, I think you might be able to get him in the same range that we have guys like Kyle Pitts, you know?
Yeah.
And where we have guys
we're also low on.
Right. Well, yeah, but I think, you know, instead of like a consensus overall number of like what, 24 to 27, I think if you get him at 40, you can do so without being egregious, and you can bake in some of the stuff that, you know, we worry about as far as the depth that's there underneath him. And the idea,
I feel like if we're wrong about Ramondre Stevenson long term, then I'm okay with that.
Well, right. Well, I don't want to be okay with being wrong about anything.
I just don't see the upside of Ramondre Stevenson being that high over the next few years, you know, given the situation and given the type of player that he is.
Yeah. It feels like he's a pure volume and usage based kind of guy. He's not one of these, like he's not a Kenneth Walker who's going to, you know, one play, get the football, and the next thing you blink your eyes and next thing you know, he's in the end zone 85 yards later. It's just a whole different breed of cat. It looks like you were right about Chris Godwin and the rumors of his demise being greatly exaggerated. I was maybe a little bit lower, I guess. You weren't super high on him compared to where the consensus has him somewhere around like 33 overall. We have him more like, I was probably a little bit low originally. So I moved him up to right there at 40. You still haven't adjusted your initial rank on him, but just as a 27-year-old in that offense, I'm not sure we'll get quite up to, you know, we're going to be taking him in the third round of these dynasty startups, man. When you're looking at guys like, you're staring down the barrel of like a 27-year-old Chris Godwin or a 25-year-old Devontae Smith, right? Or like a Tony Pollard, a 26-year-old DJ Moore. I guess with Pittman, things start to get tough, right?
Yeah.
But this is the kind of spot where like you can see Chris Olave fall to someplace like that. I'll be damned if I'm going to be taking Chris Godwin over Chris Olave, who's going to be, what, 22 years old next year? Our number one wide receiver in last year's class.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of that depends on who's quarterback for both.
I should just get a tattoo that just says always Olave.
You know, like, I love Olave, but yeah. I mean, a mediocre quarterback in New Orleans versus a guy who's going to sling it in Tampa.
It looks like we're probably dangerously low on Davante Adams, who's turning 31 this year. I mean, he has a consensus. I mean, somewhere in like 20, 26 to 31, somewhere in there. Whereas we have him more around like number 44, just because he's going to be a 31-year-old wide receiver. We don't know who his quarterback is.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't look like he's any worse for the wear at this age. He looks fantastic. I think playing inside there, I think he loves being in Las Vegas, and I do think they're probably going to invest in the quarterback position. And I feel like that's one that we just kind of put a pin in it. We say, when we know what the quarterback stuff is going to be at that point, we'll be willing to kind of move him up a little bit. But I think taking a cautious approach right now is pretty, you know, pretty important there for him. Just a couple others that I wanted to hit on is a couple that we were higher on. Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson is who I wanted to.
Yeah. Talk about Garrett Wilson.
I mean, really, with any other if we had any other quarterback who was worth their salt under the center for the Jets this season, I mean, Garrett Wilson he could have the best rookie season out of any receiver.
Well, I mean, he kind of might have.
I mean, you know? I think he did it stretches, you know, but I mean, I don't think overall he was.
So let's see. Olave in PPR was wide receiver 27. So he wasn't. Garrett Wilson was wide receiver 31. where was Christian Watson in a, just on a per game? On per game, he was wide receiver 35. Drake London was wide receiver 43.
I mean, they're baking in some of these games too, where they hadn't really even started to utilize some of these guys yet. You know,
who am I leaving out here? What other rookies? So Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Christian Watson, Drake London.
Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. So Jahan Dotson was wide receiver 44. All these guys are kind of in the same, sort of the same bucket. I mean, Chris Olave, 13.3 PPR fantasy points per game in his rookie season. He only played 15 games. Garrett Wilson in 17 games averaged 12.8. Both with bad quarterback situations.
Yeah.
But trash man. I mean, shout out to us, dude. Our number one and number two wide receivers in the class with the worst quarterback situations end up fantasy rookie wide receiver one and wide receiver two as far as 2022 redraft.
Yeah.
Good for Ohio State, too. I can't believe people are getting so low on Jaxon Smith-Njigba whenever he was able to look like an alpha among those two guys.
Right.
And just because he was hurt this year, people have forgotten about him. And they
it's just that kind of league these days. Well, fantasy league these days.
Well, I mean, JSN, we're going to be high on him. Everybody else is going to get so hyped up on the Quentin Johnston stuff and everything. And I like Quentin Johnston, but people are just like, they act like they forgot about JSN. Okay. So you mentioned Garrett Wilson, anybody else that kind of stuck out to you as a being, you know, that you feel like, you know, you're buying on or you're selling on given these consensus numbers that I pulled in?
I mean, Kenneth Walker was one where, it's kind of splitting hairs considering how high he is, but I think we're generally, you know, higher on him than the consensus.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And how can you not be? I don't know how you can't be. I can't believe that the ECR on him is number nine overall. We have him at number four. He's an absolute stud, man. Like our evaluations on him were good. I'm glad that we never deviated from, you know, making sure that, you know, if you have the 1.02 in your rookie draft, you want to take Kenneth Walker. You know, a lot of people were saying after Breece Hall, you can start thinking about Drake London or Garrett Wilson or any of the rest of these guys. We're like, no, man, Kenneth Walker's still really good and he's going to emerge. And now all of a sudden, man, you're gonna have to trade away a couple of ones to be able to get Kenneth Walker on your team. I mean, he's an elite dynasty asset. Or how do you think he'll fare this weekend versus the vaunted San Francisco defense in what might be the rain? It might not be the best game. I'm not sure.
It'll be a good test for him.
Yeah.
He's
pretty cheap on DraftKings.
That's what I'm saying. I think in DFS, I mean, I think considering his upside, he's going to be one of the cheaper plays this week.
Yeah, he's going to be super, super owned. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I mean, like Michael Pittman, we're maybe too low on.
I don't know, because with Pittman, I just don't. It's like, you know, I've always loved Pittman. Dating back to the Senior Bowl, I just feel like, man, that guy disappeared. And the quarterback situation has been so bad. He had a good week one, and then after that, it's been kaput, dude. It's been not good for him. And whenever a guy's capable of just disappearing like that, it's the same hesitancy that I still have about Elijah Moore. It's like, how are you even capable of disappearing like that?
I think when you're a slot guy, I think that can sometimes happen. And when you have someone like Garrett Wilson on the outside and someone like Corey Davis, who is a good receiver and who a few years ago when he came out was, you know, one of the top receivers in the draft. With Michael Pittman, I feel like a lot of it, the onus is on the quarterback situation there. It's just, and when you have a running back like Taylor, I mean, you don't necessarily need to lean on the receiving game, or lean on the receiving game like you might otherwise. So I feel like Pittman's situation, it's a little bit more complicated than we might think.
So you think Pittman But so, like, so why do you like, why do you like him? You just told me a bunch of reasons not to like him.
I mean, well, I think he's a good receiver. I'm just thinking the situation. I mean, like, the reasons we don't like him, I don't think are necessarily all on his back, you know?
I mean, who are you going to move him up over? Are you going to move him over Godwin or Devontae Smith or Cooper Kupp?
No. I mean, he's, I mean, we have him in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, 50. Yeah, 50 overall compared, but that's only compared to number 37 consensus. I don't think it's that bad. Maybe it's a little bad. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bad. All right.
We have him behind someone like Kyle Pitts, who we kind of hate.
I don't want to be on record as saying I hate Kyle Pitts. Look, but hey, listen, before we get on to Tank Dell, I just wanted to just the main one that I wanted to talk. Do you have any other main ones that you wanted to talk about?
No. I mean, I feel like we're, you know, Damian Pierce might be one where we're, you know, generally higher than the consensus,
which I like.
Yeah.
People don't like day three draft capital out of these running backs. But I know that Damian Pierce last season, rounding into like week 9 or 10, right at the trade deadline, I'm getting trade offers in these with these expert leagues from, you know, good analysts who you respect in this business that were offering me a 2023 one for Damian Pierce. I'm not going to forget that. I'm also not going to forget how much that organization really likes him. That organization has nowhere to really go but up. They're going to have the second pick in the draft. They're going to figure out quarterback. They're going to keep rebuilding the offensive line. The offensive line has some good pieces on it. It technically should have been better than it was based on the personnel.
Yeah.
You get another year with Kenyon Green. I'm not getting off Damian Pierce. His biggest risk is them bringing in another veteran, which doesn't seem like they would want to do. They really like him, or what? Using draft capital on another running back in this class, whenever he was kind of like one of the stars on offense. Yeah. Like if they have any sense to them, they'll understand that running back's not where you want to allocate any of these resources when you have somebody who you like who you have there for cheap.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, somebody who I think we need to consider is John Mechie in this dynasty ranking.
Mechie. So yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten down to the area where I'm comfortable sort of slotting him yet, but it looks like his consensus right now is right around pick number 200, 202. And, you know, with that being said, I definitely would want him over, you know, I mean, if you give me a choice between him and like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who has a consensus right now of 184, like there's no question that I'm going to take the devil I don't know and Mechie over the stone hand idiot and MVS. I can't believe how bad he is. I cannot believe how bad his hands are. But why does Mahomes even throw him the football?
I feel like Mahomes just throws it where he can get it these days.
Well, one guy who definitely gets the football is the guy who you watched and you did the write-up on. I haven't seen it yet. His name is Nathaniel Dell. He says that he hates the name Nathaniel, though, and don't call him Nathaniel. He wants to be called Tank. And so,
well, we'll call him Tank then.
Yeah.
So he's definitely no Tank.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a dude named Tank when he's like maybe 5'10", maybe 165, dripping wet, right? And we've seen these guys come to the Senior Bowl and sometimes look good, sometimes look really, really bad and really, really small. But we have seen some of the smaller ones. Philip Dorsett comes to mind. Calvin Austin Jr. comes to mind. Some of these guys that come in with the really dynamic shiftiness. And in Philip Dorsett's case, you know, good, really good hands and speed. People forget that Philip Dorsett was a really exciting prospect, right? Just given how fast he was. I'm not sure Nathaniel Dell is that fast. But he was super productive, not only in his junior season where he broke out 109 receptions, which was good. Or I'm sorry, not only his junior season when he had 90 receptions for like, what was it? 90 for 13 something. Then in his senior season, the year after his breakout at age 22 as a junior, and I'll talk in a minute why he's kind of old, 109 receptions for 32% of the team's market share, 1398 for 34% of the team's market share, receiving yard wise, and 17 touchdowns for 43% of the team's market share there, for overall a 36% market share production rate, which is one of the best out of all of these guys. And he did it while being so – he did it while being just so small. And he plays differently than your average small wide receiver. Out of high school, he didn't have any offers except one he got it from FIU at a 7-on-7 tournament. Apparently, FIU did this bullshit to him that they're doing to kids nowadays where they give him the offer that's like not committable, right? They kind of give all these offers out. And then when it comes to nut cutting time for the class and the kid – has already been committed for this longest time, they just quit taking your phone calls about how you sign in your how you send in your LOI, all the rest of this. And they told him basically by their lack of communication to buzz off. He ends up going to Alabama A&M. Is that the HBCU? Yeah. So he goes to Alabama A&M, gets hurt in the first game of the year, comes back and plays the last three of the year and actually puts up good numbers there. But then his plan the whole time was to go there for 1 year, then go to JUCO, where he went to do you have it pulled up, Trent? Was it Independence Junior College? Somewhere in Missouri. I think it was Independence, where he goes there for 1 year. Then USF he's from Florida, right? I think he's from Daytona Beach. USF offers him. He commits to USF. And then they get close to signing day. And the USF pulls the same thing that FIU does to him, and they tell him he can't come. And then so he ends up going to Houston, of course, in air raid offensive system. He's there for 1 year. I believe that year he was there first behind Marquez Stevenson, who's now with Buffalo, a guy who we saw at the Senior Bowl. Second year he's there was the breakout year as a junior, age 22. Age 23, he goes completely bananas on the AAC. One of the best players in the whole conference. And as you can kind of tell, he's these guys who were 165, you know, the DeSean Jacksons come to mind at the very high end of the range, the Marquise Browns. My immediate comp for Nathaniel Tank Dell was Tutu Atwell. Because I always felt like Tutu was a little bit of more of a – just a little bit more of a scrappy guy. He had a lot of speed, and I feel like I feel like Tank has good speed. He doesn't have Tutu Atwell speed, but there's something about the kind of the shifty sort of scrappiness that he has. And also the fact that, I feel like for coming from an air raid offense, he runs pretty good routes. He gets in and out of his breaks pretty well. I'm not sure if that's what you think of him. Again, I haven't seen any of your breakdown of him. So what do you think? I mean, is he too small?
He looks like he's too small.
Yeah.
My immediate comp was Calvin Austin from last year.
Okay, it was Calvin Austin?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
What I like about Tank, he's explosive. He's got soft hands. He's a quarterback's, he's one of those quarterback's best friends where you kind of throw it anywhere in his vicinity and he comes down with it, it seems like.
I'm just sharing on the screen like a reel from his Instagram. So this is credit to Tank at Tank Dell on Instagram. This was his little reel that he put out whenever he said he was going to be leaving Houston after this year, which wasn't that big of a surprise. I mean, the guy's going to be a 24-year-old rookie.
Yeah. He's quick to get upfield after the catch. He's like kind of a slashing, twitchy runner with good straight line speed. And he doesn't shy away from contact, which is, nice to see from a small guy, but it's dangerous. out of a small guy. He doesn't shy away from contact. He'll run through tacklers if he doesn't evade them or just run past them.
He's got he has got some ankle breaking open field moves.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like he's a really good kick returner. He's a guy who can win some of the. He's a guy who can win on some of these. It's crazy to say it, but like about a guy his size, but he can kind of win on a 50-50 ball every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, but like he didn't really face the press in that wide open offense. He ran a pretty simple route tree, and you know he's just built really slightly. So honestly, what I'm looking if he can. You know, beat some of these Senior Bowl corners.
He can break your ankles in the open field. I mean,
if he can really beat some of these, if he can beat the press at the Senior Bowl, some of these, you know, cornerbacks who are going to be in the NFL, then I really like Tank. If we don't see him do that, then I think he might be one of these players who's relegated to mostly special teams in the NFL. So that's going to be a big test for me. That's going to be one of the main things I'm looking for out of Tank at the Senior Bowl is can he, when he faces the press, on a consistent basis, can he beat it? And can he beat it against these Senior Bowl corners? Because we really haven't seen him do that much.
What about Romeo Doubs last year?
What about him?
It was the worst. It was in the practices. It was the worst performance I've ever seen against the press.
I mean, like,
did it kind of come to show in the NFL? Like
Romeo, for me, Romeo, it was like 50-50 more because Romeo had some really great plays. He made some good plays. When he was really bad, he was really bad. And when he was good, he was really good. So I think Romeo Doubs kind of beat himself in a lot of those situations.
And to be fair, it's turned out that he's playing second fiddle to Christian Watson, just like we thought he would anyway. I mean, it's not even close now that you see both those guys on the football field together. So Tank Dell, you think probably just because of size, what do you think he has to run to be a day two prospect and get that draft capital that we'd be interested in? Do you think he's got to run sub 4.4 to get day two consideration?
I think so.
What do you project him at right now? 4.45?
I had projected him at 4.43.
I think that's probably about right. I'm not sure he's sub 4.4. We'll find out. I do think if he's sub 4.3, we could be talking about a guy that, I mean, the Rams took Tutu Atwell on day two.
Yeah.
So they did.
I mean, I think it's going to be about what a team needs. And I don't think a lot of it will kind of depend on how he does at the Senior Bowl.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. So Tutu Atwell, it wasn't just day two. Tutu Atwell was actually the second round. Your initial eval, though, if you had to say Tank Dell is going to be going around when in the NFL draft and you're just forecasting forward, of course, you can always revise this later. Do you think he's more likely day two or more likely day three?
I think day three.
And
just based on what I think NFL teams will do, based on his size and the school he's coming from.
So Calvin Austin was your comp. That was one of my original comps. All right. So that's fine. I think that's a good comp. But if you can't use him, is he more DeSean Jackson or is he more Tutu Atwell?
I think he's more of a Tutu Atwell.